أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم عبس وتولى أن جاءه الأعمى وما يدريك لعله يزكى أو يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى أما من استغنى فأنت له تصدى وما عليك ألا يزكى وأما من جاءك يسعى وهو يخشى فأنت عنه تلهى كلا إنها تذكرة فمن شاء ذكره في صحف مكرمة مرفوعة مطهرة بأيدي سفرة كرام بررة قتل الإنسان ما أكفره من أي شيء خلقه من نطفة خلقه فقدره ثم السبيل يسره ثم أماته فأقبره ثم إذا شاء أنشره كلا لما يقض ما أمره فلينظر الإنسان إلى طعامه أنا صببنا الماء صبا ثم شققنا الأرض شقا فأنبتنا فيها حبا وعنبا وقضبا وزيتونا ونخلا وحدائق غلبا وفاكهة وأبا متاعا لكم ولأنعامكم فإذا جاءت الصاخة يوم يفر المرء من أخيه وأمه وأبيه وصاحبته وبنيه لكل امرئ منهم يومئذ شأن يغنيه وجوه يومئذ مسفرة ضاحكة مستبشرة ووجوه يومئذ عليها غبرة ترهقها قترة أولئك هم الكفرة الفجرة. صدق الله العظيم. Inshallah, we discuss today Surah Abbas. And before we discuss the ayat or the tafsir, it is important to understand the sabab al-nuzul, the reason why this surah was revealed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we know, he was a da'i. He called the people towards one Allah. And he worked amongst the Quraysh day and night, crying and inviting them towards one Allah who has got no partners, who's got no parents, who's got no wife, who's got no children. And that he is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gave them da'wah towards Iman and his risalat. He worked tirelessly. He made a great effort. He was being persecuted. Likewise, his sahaba-i kiram. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's desire was to see every person embracing Islam, and therefore he would knock on the door of even his own enemy, who would chase him away, who would ridicule him, who would scoff at him, who would mock him, who would jeer at him, who would harm him, who would persecute him, who would place thorns in his pathway. But still Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had this great fikr in his heart that how each and every soul may enter into paradise. And he did not remain content with just a handful of sahaba embracing Islam. But he made and he continued this great effort of inviting the people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To understand the extent of his concern and his fikr and his worry for each person embracing Islam, we can understand by the following verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ النَّفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِن لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ النَّفْسَكَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are killing yourself. بَاخِعُ النَّفْسَكَ, أي قَاتِلُ النَّفْسَ. You are actually finishing yourself up. You are destroying yourself. You are crying and you are making this effort and out of grief when you see that these people are not bringing iman in Allah and you bringing iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the only ilah, and in believing you as being the final prophet. When you see that they are not accepting iman, then this grief is finishing you up. And when they pass away, these disbelievers, when they die without iman, it causes you such pain, such anguish, such agony. لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ النَّفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ. You are going behind them all the time. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, any opportunity he could seize in making them understand the oneness of Allah and bringing them closer to Allah and making them embrace Islam, any opportunity he would get, he would make sure he uses that opportunity to its full. Initially we would see the great effort was made on the poor people. People who were downtrodden, people who were slaves, people who were poor. And as time went by, then more and more people embraced Islam until we had different types and different classes of people. But then an occasion comes when the leaders of the Quraysh, in Arabic you call them Sanadidu Quraysh, when they are present in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and there was a golden opportunity now for him. He is giving them da'wah towards Islam and he's making them understand the oneness of Allah, the greatness of Allah. He's got no partners, he's got no shariq. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is now inviting them. And this is a very serious discussion that is taking place between Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and these leaders of the Quraysh. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had now high hopes that shortly they will embrace Islam. If they embrace Islam, the followers will also embrace Islam. So he had a handful of these important leaders. كان مشغولا صلى الله عليه وسلم مع صناديد قريش يدعوهم إلى الإسلام وكان يطمع في إسلامهم رجاء أن يسلم أتباعهم. This was the scene that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is inviting these Quraysh, these leaders, and he has this raja and hope that just now they're going to embrace Islam, and if they embrace Islam, then their followers will follow. Now why is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is busy in this discussion with them? He's so engrossed in this discussion and inviting them with great fikr in his heart, and one could see the worry and the concern on his face, and he is now busy inviting them and winning them over. When suddenly, a sahabi by the name of Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktoum radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, a blind sahabi, he suddenly appears on the scene. He is unaware that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is busy inviting these people towards Islam. He is blind. He cannot see. And suddenly he interrupts. Just at that point where Rasulullah is so busy with these leaders, this Sahabi interjects. He interrupts this discussion. And what does he say? Ya Rasulullah, allimni mimma allamaka Allah. Ya Rasulullah, allimni mimma allamaka Allah. O Messenger of Allah, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teach me, allimni, teach me that which Allah has taught you. I need to know a few things. Teach me the Quran. Teach me something about deen. The Mufassirin say, وَكَرَّ ذَٰلِكَ وَهُوَ لَا يَعْلَمُ أَنَّ الرَّسُولَ مَشْغُولٌ مَعَ هَؤُلَاءِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. This Sahabi, Abdullah bin Umm Maktum radiallahu ta'ala, the blind Sahabi, he continued persisting and he continued repeating the same question. Ya Rasulullah, عَلِّمْنِي مِمَّا عَلَّمَكَ اللَّهِ. Teach me that which Allah has taught you. He was innocent. He was unaware of the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was extremely busy at that point inviting the leaders of the Quraysh towards Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disliked this Sahabi interjecting and so as to say coming in between this discussion that he was having with these leaders. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam frowned. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed an appearance, or his face showed the dislike and discomfort. He became upset that, yeah, I'm busy with this Quraysh and now you come in and interject. So he turns away from the Sahabi. He does not give him that full attention, thinking that let me sort out these leaders. The moment I am finished with them, then immediately I will give the Sahabi my full attention, undivided attention. But right now, it's a crucial moment. If I'm going to leave this Quraysh and I'm going to see to this Sahabi who already has Iman, then what about this Iman of the Quraysh? I will lose them. I will lose their followers. So, he can wait. Let me just sort these Quraysh out first, the leaders first. This was the thought that ran in the mind of Rasulullah ﷺ, and therefore he frowned. That can't Abdullah bin Umm Maktum radiallahu ta'ala just be a bit more patient? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately reveals these verses reprimanding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us be very, very, very careful and understand these verses. Therefore, I mention a small introduction explaining the figure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not even for a second we should think that how could Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do this. No, understand that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so worried and concerned about every person being saved from the fire of Jahannam. You know, one hadith says that I am holding you by your waist, by your hips. I'm pulling you away from the fire of Jahannam. Yet you still seek to slip through and you still want to plunge into the fire of Jahannam. What worldly benefit would Rasulullah get by knocking on the door of his enemy a couple of times, several times in one particular day? The door is being slammed at him. He still goes and he says, قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِحُ. Say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, you will be successful. Say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, you will be successful. He would meet the tribes. He would go to Mina, Arafat, and then there too he would give da'wat. We know the incident of Taif. He is bleeding, yet he does not resist. He does not stop. He does not refrain. He continues. This was a crucial moment now. Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum radiallahu anhu coming, intervening. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to give his attention, direct his attention to his sahabi Abdullah bin Umm Maktum radiallahu ta'ala. And therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى أَن جَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَى. That he frowned. عَبَسَ, عَبَسَ means he frowned. وَتَوَلَّى, and he turned away. Now look at the words Allah used. Allah did not address Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly. Allah didn't say, عَبَسْتَ وَتَوَلَّيْتَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you frowned and you turned away. Allah said, he frowned, he turned away. Third person. Allah did not speak directly to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the love Allah had for him. Although Allah is directing or guiding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a little stern manner, but Allah did not choose to say and to speak directly to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah is saying, عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى. This is the honor Allah gave to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That even at the time of rebuke, he does not directly address Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the second person is used. Abasa, the second person is used. Or Rasulullah, in fact, no, Abasa wa tawalla, Rasulullah is actually rebuked in the third person. The third person. Now, this blind Sahabi comes, he has got some burning questions. He wants to know. He's got talab, he's got thirst. Anja'ahu al-a'ma. That a blind man comes to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّى. Now Allah says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what do you know? وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّى. Perhaps this person, Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum radiallahu ta'ala an, he has come to purify himself. He's asking, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teach me that which Allah has taught you, so that he could purify himself from his sins. He requires knowledge. He requires the ma'rifat of Allah. He wants to know more about his Allah. He wants to know more about his deen. He wants to strengthen his iman. And therefore he could wash and cleanse and purify himself from the wrongs he may have been doing. أَوْ يَذَكَّرُ. Or that he may ponder. فَتَنْفَعَهُ الذِّكْرَ. And this pondering may benefit him. So he wants some nasihat. He wants some advice. And therefore he has come to you. أَمَّا مَنِ اسْتَغْنَى. But as for that person or those people who have turned away from Allah, they could not bother. Referring to the leaders of the Quraysh, they have turned away. استغنى. They regard themselves to be independent of Allah, independent of Iman. They have abundant wealth, they have fame, they have so-called honor and dignity amongst their people. They feel that they've got wealth, they feel that they've got material possessions, and therefore they are not dependent and they are not in need of Allah. So Allah addresses them, أَمَّا مَنِ اسْتَغْنَى. For such a person, فَأَنْتَ لَهُ تَصَدَّى. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are so concerned about such a person who regards himself to be independent of Allah. وَمَا عَلَيْكَ أَلَّا يَزَّكَّى. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you don't have to worry. You will not be blamed in any way if that person does not reform. Which person? The one who regards himself to be independent of Allah. The one who does not bother about Allah. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he has chosen that path, you don't have to bother so much. You will not be blamed if he does not reform, if he does not bring iman. In one verse Allah says, إِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ الْبَلَاغُ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your job is to make tabligh, just pass on the message, but you can't become so, or go behind them all the time, and in pursuit of them, and pursuit of the iman, and keep on knocking on the door, and keep on inviting them towards Allah. You have done your job sufficiently and efficiently. Beyond that, now you are not questionable. You're not answerable. You're not going to be questioned. Allah again addresses Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and brings his attention to the fact that this blind sahabi who came, he came with talab. He came with thirst. He came with sincerity. He came seeking Allah. وَأَمَّا مَنْ جَاءَكَ يَسْعَى وَهُوَ يَخْشَى فَأَنْتَ عَنْهُ تَلَحَى. Ah. But as for that person, that blind sahabi, Abdullah bin Umm Maktum radiallahu ta'ala, who came running towards you? Yas'a. He came to seek knowledge. He came with hirs, with desire to learn khair. وَهُوَ يَخْشَى. And he fears his Allah. He fears his Allah. He wants to refrain from sin. فَأَنْتَ عَنْهُ تَلَحَى. And you did not pay any attention to him. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you turned away from him. Kalla. It should not be so, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In other words, in the future, anything like this happens, then abandon and forsake the leaders of the Quraysh who are not bothered about Allah and they're not going to bring Iman. You did whatever you could do. You delivered the message. Beyond that, now you don't have to worry so much. But any other person who is a believer, or who any person who comes with thirst, he comes seeking Allah, he comes seeking Iman, or he wants to strengthen his Iman, he wants to know more about Quran, he wants to know more about Deen, then you must give him your full attention. Kalla innaha tazkira. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is an admonition. This is tazkira. Therefore, don't repeat this after today. These verses are advices. They are admonition for you. فَمَنْ شَاءَ ذَكَرَ. Whosoever wishes, then he will seek admonition. He should read it. فَمَنْ شَاءَ ذَكَرَ. Whosoever from Allah's servants wishes to reform himself, he wants to take advice from these ayats, he wants to take heed of the warnings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ذَكَرَ. Let him do so. Let him read on. Let him benefit from the guidance of the Quran. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after this warning from Allah and after this reprimanding from Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never frowned at any person. He was rahmatulil alameen. He was a perfect human being. He was too kind. He was too loving. He was too compassionate. Never for his own purposes or for his own objectives or his own reasons would he be harsh to any person. If he was a bit severe on any person, if he reprimanded any person, it was solely for the sake of Allah. It was solely for the deen of Allah. He would never revenge. If somebody harmed him, he wouldn't take revenge from that person. He would forgive that person. He was so tolerant. He was patient. But after these verses, Rasulullah took even more care not to frown at any person. So much so that whenever he saw Abdullah bin Umm Maktum radiallahu ta'ala again in his life, listen, mothers, sisters, and elders in Islam. وَكَانَ إِذَا دَخَلَ عَلَيْهِ إِبْنُ أُمِّ مَكْتُومٍ يَبْسُطُ لَهُ رِدَاءَهُ وَيَقُولُ مَرْحَبًا بِمَنْ عَاتَبَنِي فِيهِ رَبِّي. Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum radiallahu ta'ala an, whenever he would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the messenger of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would spread out his Mubarak shawl for Abdullah bin Umm Maktum, and he would welcome him. He would say, مَرْحَبًا مَرْحَبًا. Welcome to Biman, to that person, Atabani Fihi Rabbi, regarding whom my Allah reprimanded me. Fi Suhufim Mukarrama. Allah says these verses, these are recorded in noble pages, in noble scriptures. This tazkira, this guidance, these advices, these admonition, all these are contained in honored pages. في صحف مكرمة مرفوعة مطهرة. They are exalted. They are extremely pure. This is the honor and respect of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this Quran is marfu'ah. It is an exalted. It is exalted. It is free. It is pure from the hands of shayateen. It is free and pure from any deficiency. It is free and pure from any interpolation. It is free and pure from any misguidance. It is free and pure from any doubts. It is absolutely pure. The guidance, the guidelines, the teachings are pure. بِأَيْدِي سَفَرَةٍ كِرَامٍ بَرَرَةٍ. By the hands of the scribes, the angels whom Allah had appointed to write out these verses. كِرَامٍ بَرَرَةٍ. They are extremely noble. They are most virtuous. They have an exalted position in the eyes of Allah. Allah says in one verse, لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْحَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. They do not disobey Allah. They do exactly what Allah commands them to do. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَ. May man perish. قُتِل. Woe be to man. مَا أَكْفَرَ. How ungrateful man is. How ungrateful man is. مِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَهُ. Does he not value the great bounty of the Quran? Does he not value and recognize the rights of Allah? Does he not value this iman? Does he not value deen? Does he not value the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why doesn't man then ponder over his origin? From where was he created? Min ayyi shay'in khalaqahu. From what did Allah create him? Min nutfa. From a drop. Khalaqahu faqaddara. Allah created him. Then Allah proportioned him. This is man's origin. That valueless drop, which has no senses, no beauty, no intelligence, no perception. This is the origin of man. And now, what does man feel? He feels arrogant, proud, haughty. He has the audacity now to deny Allah, to deny the existence of Allah. He forgets his origin. He forgets the bounties of his creator. He does not bother about them. He does not turn towards his Allah. He has no shame when he commits evil, when he disobeys his Allah. Allah has proportioned all the parts of the body. And Allah has given each one some power. Each one function is a very special way. And a very special system. Nothing is kept out of place. Allah, out of his wisdom, as we mentioned in the surah last week, in surah Al-Infitar, Ya أَيُّهَا Insan, مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. Oh man, what has deceived you from your so kind and noble creator? الَّذِي خَلَقَكْ فَسَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكْ فِي أَيِّ سُورَةٍ مَّا شَاءَ رَكَّبَكْ. Allah who created you, fashioned you, molded you, gave you beautiful eyes and beautiful nose and ears and senses, and Allah fashioned you in the most beautiful way. What has misled you? What has deceived you from your Allah? So similarly here Allah says, this man not ponder over his origin, that Allah created him from a drop. فَقَدَّرَ خَلَقَهُ فَقَدَّرَ. Allah created him, then Allah proportioned him. ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَ. He then made the way easy for him. Allah gave him the power to understand belief, iman. Allah gave him the power to understand kufr. Allah gave him the power of understanding good and evil. So, ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَ. Then Allah made this path easy for him. The path which he wanted to adopt. So Allah showed him right from wrong. Some mufassirin say, ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَ refers to the path coming into this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled man to come out easily from the womb of his mother. Such a great bounty and ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ أَمَاتَهُ فَأَقْبَرَ. Then Allah causes man to die. فَأَقْبَرَ. And then Allah places him in the grave. Allah conceals the body, the corpse of man in a grave. Allah instructs us to bury the dead, the deceased. Otherwise, our bodies would be left on the surface of the earth for the animals, for the predators to eat and consume and devour. But Allah honors the body of insan. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. Allah says, we have honored man. And therefore Allah says, even when man dies, you should bury him in a most gentle manner. And you must show him dignity and honor and respect. When you're carrying his janazah also, you carry with respect. And therefore we have ghusl, and we have kafan, and we bury, we have pasarat, and we bury our dead ones into the ground. This is the care Allah gives man, the same ungrateful man. ثُمَّ إِذَا شَاءَ أَنْشَرَ. Then when Allah wills, Allah will raise him to life. Allah will raise him to life again. And this is on the day of Qiyamah, the day of resurrection. Allah says, كَلَّا لَمَّا يَقْضِ مَا أَمَرَهُ. كَلَّا نَي. This disbeliever who is showing signs of arrogance and pride and haughtiness, he should refrain from all these things. He has not fulfilled what Allah has ordered him to. He has not fulfilled the commandments of Allah. Allah has entrusted a responsibility over him. Allah wants him to bring iman in Allah. Allah wants him to believe in Allah. Allah wants him to obey Allah. But man, lamma yaqdhi ma amara, he has not fulfilled the commands of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now then makes mention of Allah, how Allah has created man, or Allah has created the rozi for man. After creating man, Allah now talks about how Allah feeds man. And the different types of bounties that Allah has blessed man with. And therefore, after getting all these bounties, receiving these bounties, man should make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what does Allah say? فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِهِ أَنَّا صَبَبْنَا الْمَاءَ صَبَّا. This person who is not believing in Allah, he should ponder over and reflect over his food. And of course, those who have iman also should also reflect and ponder over the food that we eat. How is he getting all this food? Is it not the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who created the means of livelihood for him? Who created this food? Anna sababna al-ma'a sabba. We poured the water falling from above. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, with our qudrat, we send down rains from the skies, from the clouds. And in such a beautiful way, the rain falls, goes into the soil. ثُمَّ شَقَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّى. We then cleave the earth asunder. Allah makes the earth to cleave asunder. And then the rain goes in. فَأَنْبَتْنَا فِيهَا حَبَّوْ وَعِنَبَوْ وَقَضْبَى. Allah says, then upon we cause grain to grow. It's not your efforts. It's not your skill. It's not your tractors that is moving on the fields. It's not your irrigation system. Allah says, فَأَنْبَتْنَا فِيهَا حَبَّى. Thereupon we cause grain to grow in it. وَعِنَبًا. And grapes. وَقَضْبًا. And edible plants. Different types of plants that we eat. The vegetables. وَزَيْتُونًا وَنَخْلًا. And olives and dates. Very popular amongst the Arabs. وَحَدَائِقَ غُلْبًا. And dense gardens. غُلْبًا. Dense. كَثْرَةً. وَفَاكِهَةً وَأَبًّا. And fruits and pastures. Pastures for the animals to graze on. The fodder that they eat. And the different types of food that the animals even eat. Allah says, all these things we gave you, حَبًّا وَعِنَبًا وَقَضْبًا وَزَيْتُونًا وَنَخْلًا وَحَدَائِقَ غُلْبًا وَفَاكِهَةً وَأَبَّا, all these things, مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ, they are of use to you and your cattle, your animals, your livestock. Some things you would use, whilst there are other things your animals would use. So Allah says, I created you, man, in such a beautiful manner. And I provided so many things for you and for your animals, so that the animals could be in turn benefit for you. And still you don't turn towards me. Still you forget me. Still you become ghafil of me. And for the disbeliever, still you don't believe in me. How should I then deal with you? How should I judge upon you? Allah then brings our attention to the fact of the day of reckoning that every person has to go through. So Allah chose to portray that image and that scene of Qiyamah, when a person will be running. He'll be running wildly, as though he has lost all his senses. And he will even run away from people who were closely related to him. There was a blood relationship with them in this world. Normally when a person is in danger, when a person is desperate, when a person is in need, when there's fear, then he will cling on to people who were closely related to him. He will cling on to his mother, his father, his wife, children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the day of Qiyamah, a man will even run away from such people. فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الصَّاخَةِ, and when صَاخَة come, what is صَاخَة? That extremely screeching sound. When that ear piercing cry comes, that is the sound of the blowing of the sur, the trumpet, the deafening sound. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ, a man will run away from his brother. وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ, from his mother and his father. وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ, from his wife and his children. لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنُ يُغْنِيهِ, for each one of them on that day will be a matter, a concern of his own. شَأْن, he'll be worried about himself. That will make him unbothered about somebody else. Person has to write an examination in the examination hall. Several candidates are writing this examination. Each one is busy. Time is now limited. And you have to answer these questions. You are deeply engrossed. You won't even lift your eyes up. You won't lift your face up. You pressed for time. You got few minutes left. And you have to answer these questions. You have to pass this examination. Even if your brother is sitting next to you, even your father and mother is sitting the other side, you won't want to see anybody now. You just want to fill in your answers and give in your examination paper. Each person will have his own commitment. Each person will have his own concern. He'll have his own matter to worry about. وجوه يومئذ مسفرة. Allah says, on that day there'll be many faces that'll be beaming and shining and smiling. ضاحكة مستبشرة. He'll be laughing and rejoicing. And this is the faces of the believers, the mu'mineen. Those who had iman in this world, now they'll be rejoicing. Why? The examination results are out and the person has passed. He's got 6 A's or 7 A's. And he's so happy. But there'll be such faces when the examination results are out. Then you find some people want to commit suicide. Why? Because he has failed. Now they'll be forlorn. Faces will have dust upon them.
Tarhaquha qatara. Darkness shall cover them. The dirt, the grime of unbelief, of kufr, shall cover the faces of the disbelievers. The darkness of gunas and sins will darken their faces. Tarhaquha qatara. Darkness. Ulaika humul kafaratul fajara. Allah says, these are the very ones who were disbelievers. Al fajara, they were wicked. Because they did not fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They did not bother about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now it is too late. It is too late. There is no question of going back to write the examination. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. We have come across so many surahs portraying the same image, the same theme. Coming closer to Allah, believing in Allah, worrying about Qiyamah. A poet says very nicely, to show man's ingratitude, to show that man is a chronic complainer. Oh, all the time complains. Never happy. Just wants this, that. He says, يَتَمَنَّ الْمَرْءُ فِي السَّيْفِ الشِّتَاءُ فَإِذَا جَاءَ الشِّتَاءُ أَنْكَرَهُ فَهُوَ لَا يَرْضِي بِحَالٍ وَاحِدٍ قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَهُ يَتَمَنَّ الْمَرْءُ فِي الصَّيْفِ الشِّتَاءُ فَإِذَا جَاءَ الشِّتَاءُ أَنْكَرَهُ فَهُوَ لَا يَرْضَى بِحَالٍ وَاحِدٍ قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَهُ He says, a man desires during summer months, he wishes for winter. He complains, ooh, so hot. Can't take the heat. Now in summer, he desires that it be winter. فَإِذَا جَاءَ الشِّتَى And winter comes, أَنْكَرَى Now he complains again. He dislikes winter. He says, how I wish it was now, more hotter and had summer. فَهُوَ لَا يَرْضَى بِوَحَالٍ وَاحِدٍ Man is never happy with one condition. He just wants different, he wants variety all the time. He's never happy. He's never content. And as I said, he's a chronic complainer. Oh, all the time. Allah says, the same verse that Allah Ta'ala used in the Quran, this poet says then, قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَ Woe be to man, how ungrateful he is. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the lesson we have learned today? That let us not be ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever Allah has provided for us, be happy, be content with that life. If our house is simple, then be happy with that. But don't desire now to live like the others and have that type of life and live lavish lives and palatial homes. Mubarak to those who got those ni'mats. We don't have it, we won't be content with whatever Allah has given us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat.